Greetings again, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 11. Be sure to take your outline out and follow along and take notes. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, follow along to verse 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son will to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to bless our time. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for what this season represents. We're so glad that the world celebrates it so often. They secularize it. But it is our duty as your people to explain and teach and live and practice that Christ's coming for sinners is the reason for the season. And so, Father, we pray as we work our way through this message. Lord, there is something here for every one of us. If we listen and be attentive, we pray that you will help us to be distraction-free this morning. And, Father, you know in my heart the only regret I have is that this place is not full to hear what is about to be said. And we pray that you would challenge those of us to tell others of the wonderful news of this great invitation that we have in Jesus Christ, which it all began in time with his coming on that first Christmas morning. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be with us. May you be honored and glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Call your attention to verse 28. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." It had been my custom the day after Thanksgiving to begin reading books and articles on the Christmas theme and passages on the birth and incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Early this year, I came across an old tract written by J.C. Ryle, written in the 1850s. It had not been republished until this year. Early in his ministry, it had a profound effect upon me, and I could not get it out of my mind and heart, and felt a leading to preach it. So, in essence, me and J.C. Ryle will be preaching to you this morning. So, simply, may the Lord bless the ministry of his word today. The title of the sermon is short, but the subject is important. It is one of those verses in Scripture which deserve to be written in letters of gold. I offer the text to you as a Christmas invitation. I urge you to look at it and ponder it well. This is one verse may be to the salvation of your soul. We are coming to the end of another Christmas is here. Families are getting together again. Friends are inviting friends to come and see them. Homes are being filled with happy faces. Surely at a time like this, an invitation can't be out of place. Please listen to the invitation I bring to you today. It is of unspeakable importance. It concerns the eternal happiness of your soul. I do not want to damper your Christmas joy. I know that there is a time to laugh as well as a time to grieve. But I do not want you to be, but I want you to be thoughtful as well as happy, to consider as well as have fun. There are some missing this year at the Christmas gathering who a year ago were alive and well. There are some now gathering around the Christmas tree who a year from now will be lying in their grave. How much longer will you live? Will next year at Christmas time find you alive? Again, I urge you to listen to the invitation which I bring to you today. I have a message for you from my master. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There are 4 points in the text in our verse here. The first one, who is giving the invitation? Number two, who is the invitation given to? Number three, what does Jesus ask you to do? And number four, what does Jesus promise to give? May the Holy Spirit bless the hearing of this message to your everlasting benefit. And may this Christmas prove to be the happiest and best Christmas you ever had. Point number one, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who's giving the invitation? Who is it that invites you so freely and offers you so much? Who is it that said to your conscience today, come, come to me? You have a right to ask these questions. We live in a deceiving world. The earth is full of liars, deceptions, and frauds and falsehood. When you hear of the mighty promiser who had the, you have a right to say, who is this? What is his name? The speaker of the invitation before you is the greatest and the best friend that man ever had. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. He is the one who is almighty. He is God the Son, equal with the Father. He is very God of very God. By him all things were made. In his hand are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He has all power in heaven and earth, and in him all fullness dwells. He is now the appointed mediator between God and man. He will one day be the judge and the king of all the earth. Beloved, when such a one as this speaks, you can trust him. What promise he has, he can perform. He is the one who is the most loving. He loved us so that he left heaven for our sakes and laid aside for a time the glory that he had with the Father. He loved us so that he was born of a woman for our sake and lived 33 years in this sinful world. He loved us so that he undertook to pay our mighty debt to God and died upon the cross to make an atonement for our sins. Oh, listen, when such a one as this speaks, he deserves to be heard. When he promises something, we do not need to be afraid to trust him. He is the one who knows the heart of men most thoroughly. He took on him a body like our own and was made like a man in all things except for sin. He knows by experience what man hath to go through. He hath tasted poverty and weariness and hunger and thirst and pain and temptation. He is acquainted with all of our conditions on earth. Oh, when such a one as this makes an offer, he makes it with the perfect wisdom. He knows exactly what you and I need. He is the one who never breaks his word. He always fulfills his promises. He never fails to do what he undertakes. He never disappoints the soul that trusts him. Mighty is he. Mighty as he is, there is one thing which he cannot do. He cannot lie. So when such a one as this makes the promise, no need to doubt if he will keep it. You can depend upon his word. So you now heard who sends this invitation which is before you today. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant him a full and impartial hearing. Believe that the promise from his mouth deserves your best attention. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Point number two. Who is the invitation given to? Now we will see in the fact that the invitation is given to those in verse 28. Now come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The Lord said that all that labor and are heavy laden, the expression is deeply comforting and instructive. It is wide, sweeping, and comprehensive. It described the case of millions in every part of the world. Where are the laboring and the heavy laden? They are everywhere. They are more than can number. They are found in every climate and in every country under the sun. They live in Europe, in Asia, Africa, and here in America. They dwell by the banks of the Amazon, the Nile, as well as the banks of the Mississippi. They abound under republics as well as monarchies, under democratic government as well as under dictatorship. Everywhere you go, you will find trouble, care, sorrow, anxiety, fear, discontent, and unrest. What does it mean? Men are laboring and heavy laden. To what class do the laboring and heavy laden belong? They belong to every class. There is no exception. They are found among the rich as well as the poor, among kings as well as subjects, among the learned as well as the uneducated. In every class you will find trouble, care, sorrow, anxiety, fear, discontentment, and unrest. What does this mean? What does this all lead to? Men are laboring and heavy laden. How can you explain this? What is the cause of the state of things for which I have tried to describe? Did God create man in the beginning to be unhappy? Certainly not. Are human government to blame because men are not happy? At most, to a very, very little degree. The faults lie far too deep to be reached by human laws. There is another cause, the cause which many unhappily refuse to see. The cause is sin. Oh, beloved, listen. Sin and forsaking God are the true reasons why men are everywhere laboring and heavy laden. Sin is the universal disease that infects the whole earth. Sin brought in thorns and thistles at the beginning and indebted man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Sin is the reason why the whole creation groans and travails in pain and the foundations of the earth are out of course. Sin is the cause of all the burdens which we now press down upon mankind. Most men do not know it and weary themselves in vain to explain the state of things around them. But sin is the great root and the foundation of all sorrow. Whatever arrogant man may think or say. Are you one of those who are laboring and heavy laden? I am firmly persuaded that thousands in the world are inwardly uncomfortable and yet will not admit it. They feel the burden on their heart. They would love to get rid of it, but do not know how. They are convinced that the things that are not right inside, which they will never tell anyone. Spouses will not tell each other. Children do not tell their parents. Friends do not tell their friend. But the inward burden lies heavy on many hearts. There are far more unhappiness than the world sees. Disguise it as some will. There are multitudes uncomfortable because they know they are not prepared to meet God. Maybe you are one of those this morning. If you are laboring and heavy laden, you are the person to whom the Lord Jesus sends an invitation to today. If you have a burden and an aching heart, if you want rest for a weary soul and do not know where to find it, if you want peace for a guilty heart and are at loss where to turn, you are the person to whom Jesus speaks today. There is hope for you. I bring you good tidings. Come to me, said Jesus, and I will give you rest. You may say the invitation can't be met for you because you are not good enough to be invited by Christ. The answer, Jesus does not speak to the good. He speaks to the laboring and the heavy burden one. Do you know anything about this burden? Then you are the one to whom he speaks. You may tell me that the invitation doesn't apply to you because you are a sinner and you know nothing about religion. And I say it doesn't matter what you are and what you have done. Do you at this moment labor and have a heavy heart? Then you are the one to whom Jesus is speaking to. You may tell me that this invitation is not meant for you because you are not converted and do not have a new heart. The answer is Christ's invitation is not addressed to the converted, but to the laboring and the heavy laden. It is this that you want to feel. Is there any burden on your heart? Is there any heaviness and lack of peace in your soul? Then you are the one to whom Christ is talking to this morning. Oh, if you are laboring and heavy laden today, I entreat you not to refuse this invitation. Do not forsake your salvation. The best of friends holds out his hand to you. Do not let pride, self-righteousness, or fear of man's ridicule make you reject his tender love. Take him at his word. Say to him, Lord Jesus, I am one of those to whom your invitation applies. I am laboring and heavy burden. Lord, what will you have me to do? Point number three. Look at it again. What does Jesus ask you to do? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What did he say? Come to me. Three words make up the sum and substance of the invitation, which he sent to you today. If you are laboring and heavy laden, he said, come to me. Listener, there is a simplicity about those three words before you, short and plain, and it contained a mine of deep truth and solid comfort. Weigh it. Look at it. Consider it. Ponder it well. It is the true saving Christianity to understand what Jesus means when he says, come to me. Mark well that the Lord does not tell the laboring and heavy laden to go and work. Those words would carry no comfort to the heavy consciences. It would be like requiring labor from an exhausted man. No, he bids them come. He does not say, pay me what you owe. That demand would drive a broken heart to despair. It would be like claiming a debt from one who had no money. No, he said, come. But what does it mean to come to Christ? A very valid and important question. It is an expression often used, but often misunderstood. Be careful that you make no mistake at this point. Here, sadly, thousands had made the wrong turn out of the path and miss salvation. Notice, coming to Christ means something more than coming to church or being a church member. You may fill your plate regularly at a place of worship and attend all the outward means of grace and yet not be saved. This is not coming to Christ. Take notice that coming to Christ is more than listening to sermons or reading your Bible. You may be a constant hearer of sermons or zealous of the teachings of the Bible and yet never be saved. This is not coming to Christ. Take notice again, coming to Christ is more than having head knowledge about him. You may know the Christian faith and able to talk, argue, and debate on every doctrine and yet never be saved. This is not coming to Christ. Coming to Christ is coming to him with a heart by simple faith. Believing in Christ is coming to him. It is the act of the soul which takes place when a man feels his own sin and despairing of all other hope, commits himself to Christ for salvation. Flees to him, trust him, cast himself wholly on him. When a man turns to Christ empty so he can be filled, hungry that he may be satisfied, thirsty that he may be refreshed, dying that he may have life, lost that he may be saved, guilty that he may be pardoned, sin defiled that he may be cleansed, confessing that Christ alone can supply his need. Then that person had come to Christ. It is an empty soul coming to a full Savior. This and nothing more is coming to Christ. Beloved, whoever you are, beware of mistakes in this matter of coming to Christ. Do not stop anywhere short of a halfway major. Do not allow the devil and the world to cheat you of eternal life. Do not think that you'll get any good from Christ unless you go straight, direct, thoroughly, and entirely to Christ himself. Trust not in the little outward formality. Content not yourself with a regular use of outward means. Means of grace are useful aid, but they are not Christ. Oh, no, press on, press onward, forward, upward, until you have a personal, serious-like dealing with Christ himself. Hearken again, beloved. Beware of the mistake as to the manner of coming to Christ. Dismiss from your mind forever all ideas of worthiness, merit, and fitness in yourself. Throw away all notions of goodness, righteousness, and accomplishment. Think not that you can bring anything to recommend you or to make you deserving of Christ's notice. You must come to him as a poor, guilty, undeserving sinner, or you might as well not come at all. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justified the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Romans 4, verse 5. It is a distinctive mark of the faith that justifies and saves that it brings to Christ nothing but an empty hand. Take heed, beloved. Let there be no mistake in your mind of those who have come to Christ and is a true Christian. They are not angels. He is nothing more than a sinner who has found out his sinfulness and had learned the blessed secret of living by faith in Christ. What was the glorious company of all the apostles, prophets, and the people of God? What were the martyrs? What were the Old Testament and New Testament saints? What were the Christians from the early church to the present day? They are all but sinners who knew and felt their sin and trusted only in Christ. What were they but people who accepted the invitation and came to Christ by faith? By faith they lived, and by this faith they died. In themselves and their worth, they saw nothing worth mentioning, but in Christ they saw all that their soul ever needed. Now, the invitation of Christ before you. If you never listened to it before, please listen to it today. Broad, full, free, wide, simple, tender, kind, that invitation will leave you without excuse if you refuse it. Jesus is saying, come, come to me. Point number four, what did Jesus promise to give? Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. What did Jesus promise to give? He did not ask the laboring and heavy laden to come to him for nothing. He holds out gracious motivation. He appealed to them with sweet offers. Come to me. And he said, and I'll give you rest. Beloved, rest is a pleasant thing. Few in this weary world who do not know the sweetness of it. People, after working long, hard days and weeks, come home to rest from their labors. Yes, rest is a pleasant thing. Rest is one of the main offers that the gospel makes to man. Come to me, says the world, and I'll give you riches and pleasure. Come with me, says the devil, and I'll give you greatness, power, and wisdom. Come to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will give you rest. But what kind of rest did the Lord promise to give? It is no mere rest of the body. A person can have that and still be miserable. You may place him in a palace and surround him with every possible comfort. You may give him money in abundance and everything that money can buy. You can free him from all the cares about tomorrow's need and remove the need of ever working again. And you may be able to do this and still not give them rest. Thousands know this by bitter experience. Their hearts are starving in the midst of worldly plenty. Their inward man is sick and weary, while their outward man is clothed in purple and fine linen and live lavishly every day. Yes, man may have houses, land, money, cars, RV, boats, soft beds, and plenty to eat, and yet not have rest. The rest that Christ gives is an inward rest. It's the rest of the heart, the rest of conscience, peace of mind, and calmness of soul. It is a rest from a calm sense of sins all forgiven and guilt all gone. It is a rest from a sure hope of good things to come, laid up beyond the reach of disease, death, and the grave. It is a rest from a well-established feeling that the important business of life, of being reconciled, is settled and all is well, and in eternity heaven will be our home. Rest such as this the Lord Jesus gives to those who come to Him by showing them His finished work on the cross, by clothing them in His perfect righteousness, watching them in His precious blood. When a man begins to see that the Son of God died for his sin, his soul begins to taste something of the inward quiet and peace. Rest such as this the Lord Jesus gives to those who come to Him by implanting His Spirit in their hearts and bearing witness with their spirit that they are God's children, and that old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. When a man begins to feel the inward drawing toward God as a father, and the sense of being an adopted and forgiven child, his soul begins to feel something of peace and quiet. Rest such as this the Lord Jesus gives to those to come to Him by dwelling in their heart as King, by putting all things in order on the inside. When a man begins to find order in his heart, in place of rebellion and confusion, his soul begins to understand something of peace. There is no true inward happiness until one comes to Christ. Rest such as this is the privilege of all believers in Christ. Some know more of it, some less. Some feel it only occasionally, others feel it almost always. Few enjoy it without struggling with doubt and fear. But all who truly come to Christ know something of this rest. Ask them, with all their concerns and doubt, whether they would give up Christ and go back to the world. You'll only get one answer. Weak as their sense of rest may be, they have gotten a hold of something that does them good, and it is something that they will never let go of. Rest such as this is within the reach of all who are willing to seek it and receive it. The poor man is not so poor that he may have it. The ignorant man is not so ignorant that he may know it. Faith, simple faith, is the one thing needed to possess Christ's rest. Faith in Christ is the grand secret of happiness. Neither poverty, ignorance, tribulation, nor distress can prevent a man or a woman from feeling the rest in their soul if they will only come to Christ and believe. Rest such as this is what sets men free. Banks may collapse, money may disappear, war, pestilence, and famine may break in on the land. The foundations of the earth be shaken, health may depart, the body be crushed down by a fearful disease. Death may cut down wives, children, and friends until he who once enjoyed them stands all alone. But the man who has come to Christ by faith will still possess something which can never be taken away from him. Like Paul and Silas, he will sing in prison. Like Job, bereaved of children in poverty, he will bless the name of the Lord. He is truly a free person who possesses that which nothing can take it away. Rest such as this, it's a possession which makes men truly rich. It lasts. It wears, it endures, it lightens the empty home. It goes with men when they are placed in their coffin. It abides with them when they are laid in their grave. When friends can no longer help us and money is no longer of any use. When the doctors can no longer relieve our pain and nurses can no longer minister to our need. When the sense begin to fail and eyes and ears fail to work. Then, even then, the rest which Christ gives will fill the heart of the believer. The word rich and poor will change its meaning entirely at the moment of death. The only rich person at that time is the one who had come to Christ by faith and from Christ had received this rest. Beloved, this is the rest which Christ offered to give to all. who are laboring and heavy laden. This is the rest for which he invites you to come to him. This is the rest that I want you to enjoy and bring you a, though I bring you this Christmas invitation. May God grant that the invitation may not be given to you in vain. Though I pose the question, do you know anything of this rest that I have been talking of? My advice is to resolve to possess the reality of Christianity, the substance that dwelleth the form. Do not be content until you know something of the peace, hope, joy, and comfort that Christians enjoy in Christ. Ask yourself why you do not rejoice in the Lord and feel peace with God. Beloved, take heed to yourself. Never be satisfied until you know something of the rest that is in Christ. Beloved, do you desire rest for your soul and do not know where to go? Remember, there is only one place where it can be found. Governments can't give it. Education will not impart it. Worldly amusement cannot supply it. Money will not buy it, and only can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And to him you must go if you were to find inward peace and forgiveness. There is only one way to the Father, Jesus Christ. One door to heaven, Jesus Christ. One path to heart peace, Jesus Christ. In that way, all laboring and heavy laden one must go. Whatever their rank or condition, kings in their palaces and paupers in their home are all on the same level in this matter. All alike must come to Christ. All must drink from the same fountain if they would have their thirst quenched. You may be here this morning and do not believe a lick of what I'm saying. But time will show who is right and who is wrong. Go on, if you will, imagining that true happiness is found in the good things of this world. Seek it, if you will, in partying and feasting and dancing and celebrating, in races and movies and sports and video games. Seek it, if you will, in reading, scientific pursuits, music and painting, politics and business. Seek it, but you will never find rest until you change your plan. Real heart rest is never to be found except in coming to Jesus Christ. Princess Elizabeth, the daughter of Charles I, was buried at Newport Church on the Isles of Wight. She suffered as a prisoner during the Commonwealth War, all alone and separated from everyone until death set her free. She was found dead one day with her head leaning on her Bible. And the Bible was open at the words of, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The monument in Newport Church consists of a female figure reclining her head on a marble book with this verse engraved on the book. Think for a moment what that monument teaches us and what a sermon it preaches. Think of the message it declared of the utter inability of rank and high birth to give peace and rest at the time of death. What a lesson it teaches us. The mighty lesson here is that there is no true rest for anyone except in Jesus Christ. Blessed will be the soul that never forgets that lesson. Do you desire to possess the rest that Christ alone can give and yet afraid to seek it? I urge you as a friend of your soul to cast this needless fear away. For what did Christ die on the cross if not to save sinners? For what did When Christ invites you so plainly and promised so freely, why would you rob your soul and refuse to come to him? Who desired to be saved by Christ and yet is not saved at this moment? Come, and I beseech you, come to Christ without delay. Though you have been a great sinner, come. Though you have long resisted warning, counsels, and sermons, come. Though you have sinned against light and knowledge, against the father's advice and the mother's tears, come. Though you have sinned and have no regard for the Bible and do not pray, yet come. The door is not shut. The fountain is not closed. Jesus Christ invites you. It is enough that you are laboring and heavy laden and desired to be saved. Come. Come to Christ without delay. Come to Him by faith and pour out your heart before Him in prayer. Ask Him to forgive and to cleanse you. Cry to Him like the thief on the cross did, Lord, save me. Lord, remember me. Do you have this rest that Christ gives? Have you tasted the true peace by coming to Him and casting all your soul on Him? Then continue to the end of your day, beloved, as you have begun. Look into Jesus, living for Him. Go on drawing daily full supplies of rest, peace, mercy, and grace from the great fountain of rest and peace. Remember that if you live to be 100 years old, you will be a sinner saved by grace, owing all you have and hope for in Christ alone. Finally, beloved, look ahead with confidence to a better rest in the world to come. Yet for a while, he that shall come will come. He will gather together all who have believed in him and take his people to a home where the weary will be at perfect rest. He will give them a glorious body in which they will serve him without distraction and praise him without weariness. He will wipe away tears from all faces and make all things new. Beloved, one last time. This Christmas invitation is now before you. Will you come to Christ today? If you're lost without Christ this morning, that message was clearly for you. If you're a believer and have grace, embrace it. We have a glorious rest. However feeble and faint it is today, we will have an eternal, never to be broken rest in the new heavens and new earth with our Lord. May I close by simply saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these words of exhortation. Lord, there's no doubt there was something here for everyone to feel the sense, to know the need. Lord, may it not be in vain. May some dear, feeble and fainting brother or sister who's struggling be strengthened, that if they've come to Christ, they have a rest. They know a little bit about it, and it will be perfect when He comes to bring them home. Lord, we don't know what the day may bring forth, but we know today we need to act, to decide to live for Thee. And Lord, if there's any in this room, if they have never found rest in You, but tried to find it everywhere else and still dissatisfied, may they come to know that that rest will only be found in You, in You alone. We commend this service and the word into Your hands to do as You will with the people. In Christ's name, amen.